Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
It's just somehow either just feed the sing, ole, 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 ole. Holy. Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. It's just about 8 minutes past six. Good afternoon and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind and you are in Offside with Terry Fenwick and Adrian Romain. Good afternoon, guys. What's happening? What's up?
How you, Carrie? How you doing?
Good.
How was your carnival?
It was workish.
Workish?
Actually. Yes. I worked most of the time. And, you know, even though I enjoy working, I think I would have enjoyed being on the road more. Yeah.
Well, I've just got Adrian alongside me and Andrea. And coming out of the back of Carnival, where you see all of these lovely parents, mums and dads out there chipping away down the street. Mm. Mums scantily clad, whining on everything all over the place. My God. Well, it's now time to get your kids back out there playing football, mm-hmm. back in your youth development programs. Social skill sets are all at play. So it's nice to get back to football here. Mm.
Yeah, good afternoon to all our listeners and viewers. Afternoon, Carrie. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, it's Carnival really took a lot from us with our eyes, our energies. Mm. But nevertheless, we are back.
We're back out,
yeah. Now, I know we have so much to discuss today. I know we have guests. So, first thing first, let's talk about who our guests are first, yeah. And then we would start with the introductions.
Well, I think I've got to hand this one over to you straight away, Andrea. Get on with it.
Yes, I feel so strange introducing myself, but it's a pleasure to be back, folks. You know, it's the one, the only Andrea. it's a pleasure to be back on the show again and talk about football. Let's do our thing.
Yeah. We've also got Tevin Hall joining us shortly, youth development coach at Football Factory. So we want to touch on, coming out of the back of Carnival, we want to touch on development programs for youngsters, because sometimes we tend to forget youngsters haven't been involved, and they certainly haven't been anywhere near the alcohol and the party atmosphere. And it's getting these kids back on track, back to school, back into football programs. And these programs now are social development programs through the power of football, where these kids, not all of them, in fact, very few of them will become professional footballers, but they love the sport, they love the game. It's the biggest game on the planet. And we've got to give them every opportunity to let them go and enjoy it and do good for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, Terry, and that's a good point, because we know that a lot of the parents made the sacrifices for their development and in different academies financially, who don't have it. Some academies actually assist them with that scholarship grant. But most importantly, though, they are there, and you're seeing a lot of active academies and active kids, especially from COVID.
Yeah, I mean, what I love about Trinidad and Tobago is every community has got their own guy within the community that coaches the local kids for free, putting his time and energy and effort and sometimes his dollars out to do good things for the kids and the community. I'm sure, Andre, you must have seen this all over the place yourself.
Yeah. No, but Terry, before we jump into this topic, I have a bit of a surprise for you.
Yeah.
Because Terry is obviously, poked fun of me last time of supporting Argentina. I found a middle ground. Okay. So I'm going to reveal a secret something under my jersey here for you. Remember I told you?
Here we go. Come on, you Spurs.
Folks, and I also have the name behind Adrian, could probably assist.
So that was my
middle ground. An Argentinian player, playing for Tottenham. I think that's a good middle ground.
World champion.
Yes.
Can't argue with that.
Yes. So, you know, Terry, in terms of, I just want to go back to like the Carnival thing a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, our country, you know, Carnival is a part of our culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of took our minds off of it for a little while.
Yeah.
But, you know, heading back into football, yeah, it's very important that we get back into these things as soon as possible.
Yes.
And, you know, do what we need to do. I personally think that I hope a lot of people are taking the lead from what we are seeing here on the show. in terms of getting things moving forward. And, you know, I'm sure the three of us, I'll have a lot more to add to this, but I'll add it later on, you know, to really...
Well, I think what's been absolutely amazing here, Andrea, is we've just had a middle of the Premier League season. We've just had a World Cup. And literally today, Adrian and I were talking about it just earlier when we were watching the live event. And we've had the Ballon d'Or presentation this afternoon. And the three nominated players, Adrian, were Benzema, Mbappe, and Messi. And of course, you love to hear this one, Andrea, being an Argentine fan, you bugger. Messi, as a world champion now, is Ballon d'Or winner.
Yes.
Congratulations to Lionel Messi. We'll give him a little round of applause.
Yes.
Brilliant stuff.
Bravo, bravo.
Yeah, great stuff there. But that's, again, coming back to the, you know, we're all up in the air. We're now back into Premier League football, back into Champions League football. And our kids are watching all this while they're playing carnival and families are playing carnival. Mum and dad are out there doing their stuff on the road. And now they want to get back involved in football. And it's up to us to rally the troops, get everybody back on the ground again and give these kids an opportunity.
Yes, yes. You know, just to add to the Ballon d'Or thing, I mean, last year it was a bit contentious with the whole situation with Lewandowski and how they didn't have the Ballon d'Or that particular year.
Yes.
But I think it's, you know, it's no... There's many times the Ballon d'Or has been debatable. I'm not a huge fan of the Ballon d'Or, to be honest.
No.
I always, you know, thought it was a bit of a popularity contest.
Yeah.
But, you know, Messi well and truly deserved it this time around. You know, he won everything there is to win at the international level.
Yes.
In the last year and a half, the Copa America, the Finalissima, and his performances at the World Cup. You know, not just, I mean, a lot of people look at goal scoring, but, you know, his overall contribution to the team was just insane. So,
I,
you know.
I look at this and... I agree with you. I wanted him to win a World Cup. I wanted him to be recognised as one, if not the best player ever. Because what I'm seeing now is you've got development programmes everywhere. These kids now, like the Ronaldos, like the Diego Maradonas, Messis, they're not around anymore. Because these academies now, these training programmes, iron out all of these youngsters. And it's all about how efficient you can be within the team structure, team mechanism. And you're from 10, 11, 12, you're now going to an academy where they nurture you in a certain position within the team. And I think it's taken away the beauty of some of the players of the past, if you like the Messis and Ronaldos, that had all of this abundance of skill. And I think that's been ironed out of our game at the moment, which is a disappointment, but that's how big and powerful and the monies that are generated through football today, that's why it's happening. So we're not likely to see any of these top stars like that going into the future. I think it's going to be very difficult for youngsters, Adrian, to become a next Ronaldo or next Messi.
The thing is, before you join in, I remembered... back in 2010, I'm not mistaken, Roberto Baggio said something. He said there's a difference between a footballer and an athlete. And he said it's a dying breed. Because some people ask him, why are we not seeing players like you anymore? And this was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And he kind of predicted the downfall of the creative player. And he said now there's so much emphasis on the athleticism, the creative types of footballers. He said he even made a joke, and I'll probably challenge everybody to go Google it and check it out, probably put it in the comment section under your show, where he said that there's a major emphasis on athleticism and creativity is dying. And, you know, he kind of highlighted the Premier League, but it's everywhere now. So it kind of just echoes what you were saying. I think we're seeing it now.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. You know, players like Neymar getting smashed to pieces on the field, getting injured. Messi, I think we won't really see a player like Messi or even Ronaldo anymore.
Well, I think I look at the Premier League and, oh my God, I hate that I've got to say this, but you look at this very good, very young Arsenal team and it's full of superstars. Of course it is, they're playing in the Premier League. But these young kids are designated positions within the team mechanism and they can't wander off track. They can't be a Diego Maradona running all over the place, doing what he wants, winning the game by scoring unbelievable goals. These kids now are designated for their job within the team mechanism to get the job done. And when we see players like Saka, for argument's sake, what a great player he is, but he does a job for his team. When he hasn't got the ball, when he's not creating chances, when he's not scoring goals, he's working his socks off for the team. And I think that's moving the game on beyond what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, correct, Terry. And regarding the next Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo, great points. But the reality is it a question where coaches don't see natural skill as a plus in a team again? Because I heard Andre spoke about Neymar and he's kicked down. Or is it that the technology now is way ahead where there's someone that is paid to basically study this player so that player can be successful? Because that's things we have to look into.
Yeah, well, I would sort of pull you back. When you look at Manchester United, for argument's sake, and the brilliant job the coach is doing at the moment, Ten Hag, and he's had to do that by ironing out a top player like Cristiano Ronaldo to make sure his team are efficient, are winning games, are doing the right stuff, and bringing Manchester United back to the top of the pile again, where everybody's recognised them under Sir Alex for donkey's years and all of that. But that, to me, tells me a story right there. So you've got the manager, and this is every coach, and me as a coach as well. The team has got to be progressive. It's got to win games. At the end of the day, football's about winning. And if you're not winning as a coach, you get fired. You're out of the job. So you are picking players that can deliver that, Andrea. Mm-hmm. Players that can work to a structure, work to a team plan, game plan, and win games.
Yep, I agree. I think coaches have a little bit of a dilemma, which I know you understand very well, Terry. You have to get results.
Yep.
You have to also, people want to see beautiful football.
Yep.
But as a fan, we have the luxury of sitting and demanding these things. And as a coach, sometimes you come into a team that's struggling. Some coaches make the decision, you know what, I don't care how ugly we play, we're going to get results first.
Yes.
Even if it means at the cost of playing good football. And then there's some who would like to play beautiful football, but they're not given time.
Yeah.
There's many other teams before Pep Guardiola was Pep Guardiola. I know there's a lot of coaches that try that style of football. It doesn't work after four games and they're sacked.
Yes.
And I think that's where the coaches, the board members, the people behind the scenes, it comes down to results. And I think it's at the cost of creativity. And then the more money involved,
yeah,
and the more losses, people, yeah, will be like, you know, hey, listen, we're not seeing the results. We want results.
Correct.
And then when you get the results, so it's kind of like a thankless.
Well, Andre, I mean, technology, yeah, that's involved in the game today is amazing. And I mean, back in the day when I played in the Premier League, yes, we knew a lot about the opposition whenever we were playing. But these days, I mean, we never sat in a classroom watching videos of the opposition, so every one of the players in our team knew what they were up against in the opposition side, and we weren't cancelling out the opposition's top players. So it wasn't as efficient as that as it is today.
Yeah.
These guys, we used to train for 2 hours in the morning. We get to training at 10 a.m., finish by 12 midday. We'd go home. These guys today are off to the gym. They're then off to the classroom to sit and watch their opposite team. They're playing against the following weekend. What's the positives? What's the negatives? How do we make chances, create chances, score goals? How do we win the game? Recognise that some teams that you're playing against are better than you.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to temper your tactics and how you're setting yourselves up against different sides to get a result. And as you've just said, we've got so many of the world's top coaches today, and I would look at Jose Mourinho.
Mm-hmm.
It would be looked upon as being negative because he's every man behind the ball, sitting deep in the field, killing all the space, and then counter-attack football. So he's got very little possession of the ball, but they might create, score a goal, and then they're sitting defending again.
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola, on the other side of it, wants to kill you with possession football. Pass, 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 pass. Can't, not even looking to get a cross in unless it's a 1-2 into the box to create a fantastic chance. They keep the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes that has been seen as being negative some of the fans at Manchester City haven't turned up because sometimes the games are boring.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we are today. Different mentalities, coaches with different game plans, things that have made them successful as coaches. And as we were talking about earlier on, if they're not winning, they get fired.
Yeah.
They don't fire the players, it's the coach that...
But I mean, I'm sitting down here in amazement because I've never heard anyone discuss football to this extent, Terry.
Yeah.
And it's a serious thing.
Of course.
Yeah. And while, some of us, and I'm saying us because I don't know any different, some of us was thinking that football is just, you know, just football, but we didn't know it had all these things behind it. So how do you cope with all that, well, Andre?
That is something, I mean, I had a brief stint with the women's national team.
Yeah.
I've worked around, Terry knows this, you know, around professional teams and so on. And that's, you worded it perfectly.
Mm.
That's something, you know, the fans definitely tend to overlook.
Yeah.
The thanklessness of being a coach and working in a coaching staff sometimes, because we all want to see that beautiful football. Why is this guy not running through the team like Diego Maradona?
Yeah.
You know, why is this team not playing? Yes. You know, sorry for that reference, Terry.
I used to like it.
I'll be leaving the show now, I guess. Anyway, but, you know, it's something that is very difficult for coaches. That's why we see a lot of them have gray hair, they're throwing fits on the sidelines, because you're working with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You have a job to do. There's the entertainment side where it's a product.
Yeah.
And people are paying to watch this and they want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, I want to see exciting football. And, you know, the Premiership sells that they're the most exciting league in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to give that, you know, exciting football, but then you might play exciting football and then lose.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you get fired. Oof. And the fans will be like, oh, he needs to go. Fire him. # cancel this person.
Oh my
Wenger
gosh.
Out. So, you know, it's brutal. It's very brutal.
So we've just been joined by Tevin Hall, who's one of our youth development coaches at Football Factory Foundation.
Mm. Well, I know, and not to cut you across, but I know we would have him after the break. But let me just, not cut you across, but let me just invite callers to call and message us one time. Absolutely. You can call us at 627-3223, 625-2257. You can even send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. This is Offside with Terry Fenwick, Adrian Romain, Carrie V, of course, Andre.
Yes, yes.
Andre Suklal.
Yes, yes.
And soon after the break, we will have another guest invited here. After the break.
Yeah,
so we're going to take a break, but we come back. It's much more. Keep it locked to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Cup final. And if United are suffering a trophy drought, then Newcastle are in the midst. The most barren of deserts. And which set of fans are going to be savouring a sweet victory later tonight? Work this well, Newcastle. The cross could go anywhere. It's flashed right across the face of goal. St Maximum. But that's certainly half a chance for Newcastle.
Well, they certainly look more dangerous than Manchester United in the wider areas. And again, it's this near side, this right-hand side that posed the problem.
So, free kick in a dangerous position. Bruno and Luke Shaw stand over it. Shaw's ball in. The header is fantastic. Manchester United lead. Casemiro, the mighty Brazilian, scores at Wembley. And United strike first in the Carabao Cup final. Manchester United 1, Newcastle 0. Casemiro. And now United coming to make it two. It's Rashford driven wide. Rashford! He's beaten Karius. Rashford scores. And there's no one better in Europe right now. Karius could not keep it out. Marcus Rashford scores and United have got two quick fire goals and they're in command at Wembley.
Great tackle.
Oh, Sabitzer. That's brilliant. Now Rashford. Rashford! Oh, that's an excellent save. It really is from Loris Karius. Three minutes to go. Willock has a go, and it whistles just wide. And I think David Hare had kind of given that one up a little bit. Erik ten Hag's 40th game in charge, and is it going to be his first trophy? And now Man Manchester United looking to finish off Newcastle here. It's Bruno Fernandes. Fernandes still going. What a stop. What a stop. Bruno can't believe it. Karius made a fantastic save there. That's it. The trophy wait is over. Erik ten Hag wins silverware for United at the first attempt. This is just the start.
So I just thought this was an unbelievable game, and my God, we were just talking about this earlier, the way the game's changing and different tactics and coaches, what they believe in the game of football. So when you look at the stats of this game, Manchester United 38% possession, Newcastle United 62% possession, Man United winning the game 2-0. Ten Hag done an unbelievable job with this team. And he's not just done a great job with the team, he's rooted out a lot of people in the dressing room that weren't part of the team, weren't contributing or negatively impacting on the rest of the players. But when you look at the run of results that he's had, particularly at Old Trafford, I think he's gone now 13, 14 games undefeated at Old Trafford. And this is the first silverware they've had in a little while. And they're playing to a game plan. They're making sure it's tight at the back. They're not giving a lot away. And what he's done to Marcus Rashford is just incredible. This is a kid that we all saw the abilities, but now Ten Hag has got him scoring goals on a regular basis, creating goals, using his pace and strength, size. This is a remarkable turnaround, Adrian, to Manchester United.
Yeah, Terry, and most importantly, we actually predicted it here.
Yeah.
We saw how he we will keep going at, going over, he was stern. His approach towards the job was amazing. He moved brave. He didn't interfere much with his squad in the January transfer window. And to be honest, his team, his players keeps playing week in, week out.
Yeah.
And he's showing that grit of being a top manager.
And this was going back, Andre, to what we said earlier on. This is a manager, he's, you know, come out of Holland, Ajax, and every team he's run, there's not been any superstar. One, they've all been superstars. They've all been looked at as the same team players, working for the team, working for each other, putting everything on the line for their players, their teammates, their club, their fans, their everything. Done a great job.
Yes. When he first came in, I had a discussion with on my podcast about it.
Right.
Because they weren't doing well in the beginning. And I can't remember what the guest was at the time. And I said, listen, you know, this is a guy, I liked him since, you know, the Dutch league.
Yeah.
I thought he was the right guy. My biggest concern for him was, would they have patience with him?
Yes.
Which is what we spoke about before the break. You know, how coaches don't have the time to do what they need to do.
Yeah.
He comes in and he starts putting his foot down, discipline-wise. It's hard to avoid this topic about speaking about Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy at one point in time was unbenchable, depending on who you ask. But it takes a coach with, you know, real character and understands what a team needs to say, listen, you know, sit down, you know, son. And it, you know, it helped because he implemented what he had to do and got rid of players he didn't need.
Yeah.
And I think he put together a really strong team.
Guys, this is Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. We are on Offside with Terry Fenwick, Adrian Romaine, Andre Suklal, and Tevin Hall. We have so much impact for you. Don't forget, you can call us right now at 627-3223 or 625-2257. I know we have a lot of football fanatics outside there. Hey, what's this guy's name again? Kadeem. Kadeem is a football fanatic. What happened? What's going on? Send me a message on WhatsApp, 306-1065. So I know we have Andre here. I know we have Tevin Hall, Terry.
Yeah.
What is in store? What is up next?
Well, we're touching on everything. I mean, it's, my God, we've just come out of Carnival. So everybody's settling their heads down after the big Carnival we've had here in Trinidad. And there's been some amazing games of football going on. And, you know, we've concentrated on Premier League in the past, but recognise we've just come off the back of World Cup, November, December World Cup. We're back now into Premier League. We're into Champions League. There was an amazing game at Anfield only a week ago when Real Madrid beat them 5-2 at home. And everybody's wondering what the hell's going on at Liverpool at the moment because they're stop-start. similar to my team, Tottenham. But there you go. But the games are coming up, and we've got coming up very shortly. We've got on the 5th, next Sunday coming, we've got Liverpool versus Manchester United, which is arguably the biggest rivalry in British football today. Yep. That is two huge clubs going head-to-head up in that Lancashire area, up in northwest England, and they literally go to war. That's what it's all about between these two teams. But I'm going to fire this one over to Tevin Hall, development coach at Football Factory. And we're looking at so many of the old-style top-class players, your Ronaldos, your Messis, your Diego Maradonas. Kids of today, Tev, how are they reacting to how the game is moving on? It's becoming more development rather than individual skills. What do you see from the kids? Yeah. You there?
Yeah, talk now. Let me see. Let me see if I can fix this. Right, talk on that one there. Let's see if we can hear you.
Hi.
Yes.
Today the kids mostly get involved in the whole scoring of goals. Like,
yeah.
Everybody wants to be a goal scorer.
Of course.
So from Ronaldo now, Alan is on there.
Yeah.
He's one of the best goal scorers out from Central Germany now in England.
Yeah.
So most of the kids now want to be goal scorers, but they don't understand the fact that to be a goal scorer, you have to be an overall player.
Yeah.
You understand? So right now at Football Factory, we more develop kids on, you know, teamwork and playing with each other and, you know, building that connection amongst each other with that team.
I think what's nice, and I think everybody, the listeners out there, should recognise, Tevin is a Manchester City fan.
I am.
I don't know whether he was one of them that jumped ship from Manchester United and went to Man City when they started winning the championship, the Premier League. But it's difficult for players, young players today, Tev, whereby there's so much technology involved in the game today. Mm-hmm. And using the power of football to bring kids out of themselves, recognising that very few, very small percentage of these kids will go on to make a career out of football. That's how big it is. That's how difficult it is now because of the monies that are generated and the professionalism that goes on behind the scenes. What sort of skill sets are these kids bringing out? What are you trying to bring out of these kids to move them on in life in general?
Well, first of all, discipline is the number one priority. And also hard work.
Very good.
Most of these kids nowadays, they think that football is just that, the stardom. They don't see the hard work behind it, the discipline, the whole foundation behind that football. They only think about the stardom, you know. And right now, we need to develop that discipline and that hunger to work hard to become that star footballer.
So, Andrea, you know, Trinidadian and Argentine supporter, my God. But what about, you know, the role models? Where are we looking for them? Trinidad and Tobago national team players of today and the past, role models. Could they help more in the development of youngsters on the ground today?
Yes, definitely. Absolutely, it's very important that former players, especially for the national team, contribute because, as you were saying, a lot of these kids don't understand the pathway from becoming a kid to a pro.
Yeah.
They look at social media, they see the stardom, you know, they're driving around in their cars, millions of likes on Facebook. It's a very important that former players and coaches that have been successful, especially in Europe, sit with these players and try to work with them at all levels so they can understand, because a lot of them get to the national team set up. You know, Adrian will know about this as well. And oftentimes they're lost. They don't have that guidance. So it's very, very, very essential that we demand more of our former, you know, athletes, that they step in and, you know, take a mentorship role. I mean, some of them, they're not obligated to do it, but I think for the benefit of Trinidad and Tobago and sports in general, that these guys come in, and girls, and give them the guidance they need to avoid mistakes, because it's already tough in Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
So you need guys who've made it, listen to what they say, and, you know, take their advice.
And Adrian, I mean, I know you're heavily involved in football development for youths, trying to get them opportunities on the outside, scholarships on the outside. But it must be difficult because of the way the TTFA is set up. They're not really focused on that level. They're trying to shortcut to the top and introduce this new professional league. And in my eyes, is it that the kids on the ground are almost being ignored at this stage?
I think I am not someone to give TTFA a round of applause, but in recent times, I think because of FIFA and because of the introduction of the child protection of the safeguard, there's a lot of things that is happening where no longer a man wakes up in a community and thinks he can coach the kids that's from the community without having these licenses.
Yes.
So to be fair, they have put that in place, and there's over 600 persons that has been qualified, and this assists a lot of academies where you get funding from FIFA.
Yes.
So over the last 2 months, it really and truly have brought a lot of persons with a job and without a job. And the reason why I'm saying this is there's a lot of coaches that have been basically blacklisted for doing a lot of different wrongs with children.
Yes.
And it's no shame in it.
Yeah.
And now that with the TTFA safeguard, now they're even shamed to even go and obtain the certificate.
Yes.
So in a month time to join in tournaments, to register yourself as a coach, to obtain coaching badges, you need to have a safeguard. Even academies need to register. So off the field, that is helping. But my biggest question, though, is what happens with the development of the kids and what is in place
beyond
for
that.
Them?
Yeah.
The reality is that as much as, there's good coaches, and I'm a strong believer in that, I also believe in coaches educating themselves in terms of that, because without that education, and Terry, you will know, I learn a lot from you, and I'm still learning. But the reality is, if I didn't go and educate myself, I would not have been able to assess what you are saying on the field or even off the field. So academies need to really and truly instill those philosophies and those rules. Because
I mean, I've seen a big change in Trinidad and Tobago on the coaching side.
Right.
When I look back, and this has gone back to the tenure of Jack Warner.
Right.
When literally there was, and to be fair, they used to bring international teams of coaches down from other countries, from Europe and whatever else. But before the sessions even started, I knew who was going to get their passes because they were friends of Jack. Serious.
Yeah.
Now, when I took my air license, this was back in 1991, on the course that I was on, there was only 17% of the course passed. So you had to work your socks off in the 2 weeks that you were there, making sure that every time you were called up to do your stuff, you had to be spot on. Now, I was I was under Terry Venables, arguably the best coach England have ever had. Brilliant coach, great guy. And I learned so much from him. And when I took my coaching badge, I was still a player for Tottenham Hotspur at the time, and he told me, go and get your coaching badge. You should be in your later stage of your playing career now, getting yourself organised for coaching down the road. So he was pushing me in the right direction. And when I got to the course at Lillishall at the time, 17% is nothing. 17% passes. So lots of people on that course, ex-players, community people, loads of people from all over the world that went there to get the English coaching license failed. Mm. How do we, Andrea, how do we temper that now in Trinidad and Tobago to make it better?
All right, guys, it's just about 6:45, and that's my time check. You are locked into Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. Don't forget you can call us at 627-3223, 625-2257, or you can even send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. We are here. It's Offside with Terry Fenwick, Adrian Romaine, Andre Suklal, and Tevin Hall. He's from the Football Factory Youth Coach. So I know that you were going to ask him a couple of questions to elaborate on Terry, but you can continue. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are on this side of the table here, Kerry. We've been involved in youth development, trying to deliver skill sets.
Mm.
And some of these skill sets are not necessarily football. They're social skill sets. It's how kids interact with each other, how they get on, having respect and discipline in and around their training camp, their team, the team that they're with. So they were nurturing better individuals. And I think, Tev, if I can pass that over to you, that's so important to kids on the ground today.
That's true. Because most of these kids, they come into these academies thinking like, okay, I'm the best player in the academy, so they want to show that. But they need to understand that you need to be in a team to become the best player, not just show your skill and take on a whole team by yourself, because I don't think one person could take on 11 guys. You understand? Yeah. So with 10 guys there, with an extra one, that's enough to, you know, to be a team and for us to win a game. So most of the kids nowadays, they just need to develop that understanding of playing in that team and not playing as an individual.
Yeah. And Andrea, you were involved with the ladies' side. How is there any difference between how the game has been managed between the ladies and the men?
Locally? Yeah. I think, yes, there is a difference. I think there's a massive gap where we already know the problems with the men's football team. Just multiply that by 10.
Okay.
for the women, because it's not the fault of the woman. I think it's just the infrastructure. If it's already bad for the men,
yes,
it's significantly less for the women. Interestingly enough, I mean, when I was there, there was a lot of support for women from the public, which I'll give kudos to the public for that.
Yes.
But I think in terms of development for these girls, avenues for them, we are speaking about pathways for the guys. It's even worse for the girls in Trinidad because they don't have much options. Yes, they have a couple of leagues that they play in, but in terms of progression from player to even coaching, it's a massively difficult path right now. So we definitely, in terms of whatever focus there is on the men, it needs to be also on
equally
the woman as well.
On the woman.
I mean, I would look at this. I'm not seeing any new names coming out of the woodwork coaching-wise. And is it that we're still bogged down with the same, the usual suspects that are still at the top of the game, still looking for their dollars at the top of the game, and they're still being managed by the same hypocrisy, if you like, of the TTF here? Have we not moved on into... Because there's some good young women coaches out there. I look at Mullen, who's a good player. Adrian, I mean, you've had some good coaches, men and women, coming through your development programs.
Now, I know, Adrian, you have a lot to say, but don't forget, coming up at 6:50, we're going to jump in a break, and then we're going to wrap up this conversation with Andre and Tevin. But, Adrian, what are your thoughts? What are your views?
No, Terry, that's an interesting question, though, because I think we will keep talking about it, but it's not happening. Like, Tevin, something that we didn't mention, he's a young coach.
Yeah.
What is in it for him? He has been around for the last 6 years.
Yes.
Or more.
Longer than that with Football Factory. 10 years, yeah.
So we could say, okay, I think he has been successful as a U developer.
Yeah.
But, okay, no one have seen this.
No.
No one have seen this other than what we have seen. Yes. And I'm not being biased because I don't live in the north. I am in the east, but I know the job he has done. I've seen him at Republic Cup. I've seen him at different tournaments. But the reality is that if you do not link yourself with the persons that is in charge, and I'll keep singing it, because it's happened with me, and it's happened with Andre, and it's happened with you, and it's happened with Tevin. If you do not link yourself with the persons that are in charge, and you do not basically have the wrong tongue attitude, then honestly you wouldn't be given a job. And it's a sad thing, because I am more appreciated of the islands after being the national team head manager. I'm more appreciated of the islands than in Trinidad Tobago. It's really and truly, and it's a disaster.
So that Adrian's the politics that's kicking in.
It's the politics, and
do you find that, Andre? Do you
Absolutely agree.
So, guys, it's just about 6:50. We are going to jump into a break. When we come back, it's much, much more. Keep it locked to Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. This is Offside.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back to Freedom 106.5 FM. It's just about 53 minutes after 6. We're going all the way to 7:30. This is Offside and where you get that talk to speak your mind. Don't forget, I am here with my co-host Terry Fenwick and Adrian Romaine. And guys, my lines are always open. Of course, you can call me at 627-3223 or 625-2257. Welcome back, gentlemen. I know that we have so much more to discuss. We are speaking with Tevin Hall from the Football Factory Youth Coach, and we have Andre Suklal. So, Terry, from what you have been saying,
yep,
and from watching these gentlemen here, but them could coach the national side, them could carry into a World Cup.
Well, I'd like to think so, but no, as Adrian's just pointed out earlier, everything behind the scenes is managed by politics. And
that's the problem we have in. And that's the problem we have in. Because to me, in my own view and my opinion, we have so many skilled players. But how are they being pushed to actually go to that level, that World Cup level?
Yeah.
So there's, honestly, the World Cup level, I put that out, the reason being, a lot of people said they basically criticize when I say that, but I'm realistic. I'm on the ground.
Mm.
Yeah. We have a TT Premier that is starting in less than a month time.
Mm-hmm.
March the 10th. Well, not a less than a month. It's actually 10
next
days.
Next week.
Right? Yeah. So the reality is that I expected that the little break we had of 2.5 years of no football in Trinidad and Tobago, a guy that is coming to play football and use it as his profession would have gotten a better offer. Mm-hmm. I have players ringing me late in the night. I've been offered $2,000. $2,000. This is a guy that is with three kids.
$2,000.
Nah,
Adrian, don't do my dad.
I had to ask him, are you serious?
Yeah.
Is that US? He said, no, TT.
Nah, don't do my dad,
yes,
Adrian.
I'm very serious.
I'm not
treating
Adrian, you so.
And Kerry, I think it's a good point, you know, because we're now looking at March the 10th, kicking off a new professional league here in Trinidad and Tobago. But the numbers are so low because we haven't got that financial backing from corporate Trinidad at the moment. The actual season will be over 3 to 4 months. The rest of the world are playing 8 and 10 months football almost all year round. Absolutely, yeah, with international football as well, it is all year round now.
Mm.
But we're scraping to get 3 and 4 months out. What do the kids do after that? Because and I think it's a FIFA regulation, this. You're not allowed to give contracts out in world football less than 6 months, because that's transfer window to transfer window.
Oh.
Terry, correct.
But here in Trinidad and Tobago, kids will have monthly contracts, 3-month contracts, because the owners of these clubs physically haven't got the money to give out.
Wow.
And Terry, that is correct, because the reality is when you reach the 6 month of your contract, you can now you can negotiate for another contract with another club.
Yeah.
So it needs to be 6 months.
Yeah.
So with 4 months, I am basically calling it the makeshift league.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a league where they put together, they have, and surprisingly, I saw they were part of the whole Carnival Fiesta in Port of Spain on Thursday. It was all over the TTFA.
Really?
And I'm not against it. But please use that money to give young players who is actually the brand you're a chance. Do not give them $2,000 and $1,500.
Yeah.
No, man.
That's craziness. That's craziness.
That's,
and on top of it, we are calling training sessions 8 a.m. That's time to get an office job. We have more educated players now than before.
Yes.
And let's be real. So there's a lot of players that is much more educated. They can get a proper job. We want the league to happen. If you offer them $2,000, just say, I'm offering you $2,000 stipend, but you can still obtain a job.
A job, right?
Yeah.
So it's not bashing, but the reality is TTFA need to get your house in order.
Yeah.
You need to get your house in order because you all had enough time. You all took it away from the TT.
3 years.
Yeah, three years. You all had enough time. And I think that I know you all are listening. So I dare you all to give these kids an opportunity to drive the same cars you're all driving, to live in the same houses you're living, to be permanent, like how a lot of you all
a permanent right now. Hmm. I am seeing people in the TTF for 20 plus years, Terry. Yep. You are giving a kid 4 months.
Yes.
The league is 4 months, sorry, but the contract starts on March the 10th.
No, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's his craziness, Terry.
Andre, what do you think?
Mic dropped by Adrian there. Well, it's very hard to disagree with anything Adrian is saying.
Yeah.
It's been way too long. Yeah. They had many, many years to sit down and try to figure this thing out and come up with ideas that could work. So honestly, there's no excuses anymore. Yeah. The usual go-to excuses, well, money.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have any money. Okay, well, all right. But there have been plans even before the NC came in and so on.
Yeah.
There have been people there for many years who have supposedly their job is to find solutions for these things and gain the trust of corporate Trinidad and Tobago to get the public to fall in love with the game. It's a brand.
But Andrea, is it that the new people that have come in the normalization committee, are they reliant upon the old guard giving them information rather than starting off fresh and brand new and giving people a chance to show what they can do?
Correct.
Are we still going back to the old guard?
Yes, yes. And that's exactly the point I was going to go. I've always said this on multiple forums.
Yeah.
You want to fix Trinidad and Tobago football. It's well documented what our problems are. Your job is, it's common sense. Any field, any business, anywhere. You take the people that cause the problems and you just keep them around still. You know, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense whatsoever.
It's meant to be the normalization committee to get things back to normal.
Yeah. Which our normal is really bad.
Yeah, but Terry, this league is now run by Colin Wolf.
Right.
So he's the chairman.
Mm-hmm.
So he's supposed to give us a direction in what's supposed to happen. The TTFA normally, the pro league normally has a youth pro league, right? Now they have taken away the Republic Bank Cup from Gateway Athletics or whoever, and they are in charge of it. So now the Republic Bank Cup is basically the replacement for the Youth Pro League. Wow. So that gives you a vast set of teams available, right?
Right?
The problem I'm having with it, I'm not against it in terms of allowing community teams.
Yeah.
But let's say we have Tevin Hall, who's 17 years of age. He cannot break into one of the premier teams. What other football is he going to play?
Yes.
What other football is he going to play? He's injured.
Yeah.
How he comes off injury and shows his form. We had years there. You have won the Pro League numerous times. We know that it had something called a Reserve League. It had something called the Senior Team.
Yeah.
Then we have an Under-17 League. We have Under-15. We have Under-13. We are cutting ties from these things when the rest of the world, the rest of the Caribbean, is doing it day in and day out. Yes. Barbados launched a women's league yesterday, y'all. A women's league. Yeah. We do not even know when TT Wolf will ever start.
Wow.
So it comes back to the point of the young ladies getting opportunities. They are not getting opportunities. Young ladies, do they get paid? No, they don't get paid. This is basically a part-time sweat.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we expect for our team to celebrate and we expect to make a World Cup. How do we make a World Cup?
Yeah.
We need to be realistic.
It's very difficult because there's no development on the ground.
Correct.
And when you look at most of the Central American teams are now up and down the islands, they've had lots of top coaches from Argentina.
Yeah.
In there, and the development programs from these coaches are 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
So you're seeing top teams come through.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can give a good example, Haiti have just qualified for the Women's World Cup, is it, at under 20 level? They're doing great things there. And what have they done? They put synthetic surfaces down, so they've got a good football pitches here and there. Not all over the island, but several that manage them very well. But they're now knocking teams over in the CONCACAF region and doing very well. We're slipping behind teams like that.
Yep.
But Terry, Haiti gets the same funding as Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
Trinidad and Tobago gets the same funding as Barbados. Barbados gets the same funding as Curaçao. So we have to understand something is, what are we doing with the funding that we receive?
Oh, Lord.
That turf that Haiti, I think, is the 4G project.
4G, yeah.
That is all over the Caribbean. Barbados recently launched their own. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Curaçao launched their own. Guyana is doing it.
Yeah.
Everyone is doing it. Our only so-called, I will call it a 1G, is Marvin Lee.
Lowercase G.
Yeah, lowercase G. Yeah. Well, right? But the reality is that we have had FIFA funding, and we need to know where what is important to us.
Yeah.
Do we want to develop the kids, or do we just want to make money?
But let me ask you this, Adrian, and you made a very good point, because if all the other Caribbean islands, they are doing their thing in 5G, mm-hmm. let's call it that.
Yeah.
What is happening to Trinidad and Tobago, and who is responsible for it?
Well, the heads, the people who's in charge, who's receiving
like the ministers, but
no.
I must be
involved in the extra sport because of the stadia that we've got. We've got the best stadia in the Caribbean region. But if you actually step into these stadiums, they're a mess.
Yeah.
But no maintenance.
The person in charge of TTFA is basically in charge of the FIFA funding.
Yes.
Right.
And I want to stick there. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is that if we are receiving $5 million a year, that is US.
Mm-hmm.
Then that goes into development. The disrespectful part is, and I don't know why coaches keep doing it, is why our national coaches is signing 3-month contracts, 5-month contracts.
Yeah.
That is disrespectful, right? I think that needs to stop.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the rest of the islands is signing 3 years, 4 years,
yes.
2-year contracts. That's development.
Yeah.
That is not makeshift.
Yeah.
So we had a women's program the other day. I don't know if Kenwin is still hired. I don't know, right?
Yeah.
Then we had an under-20 program. The coach was out for 3 months. This young team, kudos to them. They try their best. The under-17, great talent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what happens to them after? Will they be part of the TT Premier League? What will happen to the coach?
Yeah.
All these things, there's a lot of questions. So I always see TTFA getting extra money inside because it's short-term contracts.
So is it that we have to go to Robert?
Yeah, we would like to invite Robert, and we think that I hope he takes our call, but we would like to invite Robert one day.
I'm very sure Guardian Media could get him on. I'm sure that we could get him on here just to ask him these questions, because I'm trying to put together Barbados doing their thing, Guyana doing their thing, Suriname, Haiti, they are all doing their thing and promoting the football and investing in it. And we are all receiving the same funding.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen anything as yet.
But Carrie, remember last 2 weeks, our last show, we had the Barbados FA boss.
Right.
Right, Mr. Yeah. Randy Harris and mm-hmm. CFU. And we must congratulate him.
Yes.
Because he has returned to the vice president spot as CONCACAF. So we must congratulate him. Nice. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, he made time and he explained the whole dynamics of the Bajan football and the development and what Caribbean teams expect and all these things. And I would like Robert to come in and have a conversation with us, because we can be saying a lot on radio, but maybe he may come with the facts.
Mind you, right? It has people listening. So Robert, here it is. So all the people who are listening for Robert, Robert, call me, 627-3223, 625-2257. Now, let me just delve a little bit, Terry and Adrian. I know we have something every Monday called the Rising Star.
Yeah.
Would we like to introduce that Rising Star?
Of course.
Drum roll.
So I would like to pass over the Rising Star to Tevin Hall.
Yay.
He's got this young kid. Tevin, where you go, let's have a listen up. What's the future looking like?
Oliver Solomon scored 3 goals at our tournament on Saturday. 3 good goals. So he's our rising star. He's a very generous kid, very energetic, very helpful.
Mm.
He's one of the best kids we have in the program right now.
Mm.
Just the discipline a little off, but
he's
a kid, he will work on that. So Rising Star goes out to Oliver Solomon.
Wow.
I know Oliver comes to me on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
and he's asking me, coach, how should I do this?
Yeah.
How should I do that? Last week he was just asking me about penalties.
Mm-hmm.
How do I take a penalty? Do I run straight at the ball, or do I need to be on an angle so I can push it in that corner and pull it in the next corner?
Mm.
So he's coming with really good questions, trying to build his game.
He wants to better himself, and he will get better because he loves to learn.
Well, I mean, you're the coach.
Yeah.
You understand, Tevin? All is the coach.
Man, Tevin.
Well, so guys, to wrap up our conversation, Tevin, I'll ask you first. What advice do you have for any new or upcoming football player? What do you have to say to them before we go?
if you want to get into this, you have to be able to work hard, because football is not something easy, and it's not something that happens overnight. You have to put in that work and be dedicated to the sport to be able to make it out there.
Nice. And what's your social media handles? Tell everyone one time so they could follow you.
Loso Kid on IG, and that's it. And no other social media.
So it's Loso Kid.
Yeah.
Nice like a pie. So Andre, what are your words before we depart?
I would say, just to build on what he said, there's a lot of stuff your coaches can teach you, but there's a lot of things you have to learn on your own. Do a lot of your own research. The information is out there if you want to become a better player. Mm-hmm. We are no longer limited by lack of knowledge.
Right.
You could go out there and look at the best players. They are training, things that you could do on your own when the coaches are not around. What you do outside the training session is extremely important as what you do in the training session. And it's very important. You don't just wait for your coaches. The information is there. Mm-hmm. Seek it out. And of course, anything you don't understand, you ask your coach.
Well, you make a point there. Yeah. That was Andre Suklal, the sport data and analysis, and Tevin Hall, Football Factory youth coach. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us here at Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind, of course, and this is the Offside Show. So Terry, Adrian, anything else you want to tell them before we wrap up this conversation and jump into something new?
Discipline is important.
Discipline
is very important. I think that we have a lot of parents that is getting involved now, so it's all about the kids really and truly taking that support from home and executing it and seeing a way forward and a way out, because there's a lot of kids in some serious troubles.
A way out.
Different communities, and we deal with them daily. It's a lot, but nevertheless, it's just giving them the escape.
Yes.
And as coaches, I must commend Tevin for keeping with it, because he has changed a lot of kids' lives. So
well done,
it's important that we see the football coaches as a massive part in terms of mentorship.
Well, of course.
They are also teachers. So a lot of kids look up to their coaches as well. And coaches, you need to know that you are a teacher and basically a role model to kids. So it's important that we give them that leadership.
So Kerry, what I've always done as a coach, I've always said to my players, whole squad of players, look after number one, and number one will look after you.
That's cool.
And that is you behaving yourself properly, being disciplined, working hard, even down to eating the right things today, the technology that goes into football and sports people today. Look after yourself. Make sure you're at the top of your game all of the time. And that's when you're on the field of play and when you're off and you're networking with your community and your community with people and your parents, your family. Look after number one, and number one will look after you.
That's nice. That's really nice there. Guys, that was... that was some really soothing words, though, Terry. I like that. Anyway, guys, it's just about 11 minutes past 7. We are going to take a break. When we come back, it's much more. I feel it having a little bacchanal, I don't know, Adrian. I'm feeling a little bacchanal vibe. We could shake them up a bit. And Terry, someone posted a question for you. But when we come back from the break, we are going to deal with that. This is Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. We're going to be right back.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
I feel that if I would have been in this stadium, Adrian, I would have been one of the most loudest spectators ever. I just feel like singing.
You have all that passion?
What? Why are you telling me? In 2006, when we qualified for the World Cup, I didn't have no voice, you know, Adrian. I didn't have no voice in a Terry.
Yeah.
Well, I live in my red, white, and black jersey. You know that?
Wow.
For days, you know. Wow, okay. I'm telling you, I patriotic like that.
From qualification from November through to the World Cup, that was the best 6 months in Trinidad.
You understand what I'm telling you? Yeah. And then, incredible. And then after that England game, I get vexed. I never get so mad.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I
tell them that is why I say it.
No one carry on is afraid just now.
I went to Germany with my son to watch the game, and my son wore the England shirt, and I wore a Trini shirt to the game. So that was me as an Englishman bending, because I'm living here now.
No, we'll use that Trini, you know.
Are you a trainee?
Yeah, you're a trainee. You he understand boy. What I'm saying? Guys, welcome back to Offside, which we do every Monday from 6 p.m. to 7:30. It's me, of course, Carrie V, alongside Terry Fenwick, Adrian Romain, Andrew Suklan, and Tevin Hall. I know we have a call. Let's take this one. Let's see who's there. Hi, good evening. You're live.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, good evening. What's up? What's happening?
Oh, why am I not a football man?
Aye, aye, aye. Talk to us. We know about football.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know a little bit of football. I used to go and watch in the call and thing now. With Dorica and all these boys, John Hamilton and them.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I just want to find out for the past 20 years. Look how much team we have, eh? In the intercall and thing. Playing every year, I think. And where these players, these young players, that be going? You don't hear nothing about them again. And all these teams for the past few years had good players. You know? We don't hear about them again after the intercall.
Well, that's a good question.
You might know, you know, they might make the, you know, the national team or some kind of thing. But where do you have players that be going? Yeah, that's why I just want to find out that. And I see a lot of intercourse football already, you know. I used to go in the stadium as a young fella. And I see a lot of football with, you know, them team I used to go with friends and things. In the stadium, you know, and tell how much they'd be in the call.
So here is why I'm on the marks or something quick, right? What do you think about how things are happening with football in Trinidad and Tobago? What's your view on that?
But the football, man, I mean, see nothing going on with it, football and things. I find the football fall back a lot. For years, I knew football and things with a lot of players and things, and from 1973,
right.
1974 with Steve David and all of them, Archibald, Adolf Cummins and all of them. I remember them. You know, them are good. And after that, you never hear the Army strike squad. We had good players too. You know, like Latapi, Dwight York and, you know. And a lot of good players, Leon Lewis and, you know, he was a good footballer. I see a lot of football. Okay. But I don't know where we football going because we don't hear nothing again.
Right, right.
About these players, you know, and we're going about. But they hear players from all over the world, you know. And we don't hear about these players here at all. I don't know what's going on. We football here. And we have good footballers, you know.
Well, of course.
Yes, we have good Neil Lyon, to tell you. Since 1973, I see it. David and all of them was very good.
All right.
I think that was 1970, they were going to a World Cup.
Yeah,
19, and they were going 74 to maybe a World Cup in Germany, and I think they scored four or five goals against Haiti.
Wow.
I remember I was a young fella.
They
say all the goal was offside.
Serious? Well,
yes,
well,
that's right.
Like it, yeah. All right. Thank you so much for your contribution. Thank you so much.
So he's made some great points there, Kerry. And Trinidad and Tobago have produced some fantastic talent over the years. And when you look back at 2006 World Cup squad, 9 out of the 11 players were playing in Great Britain, England and Scotland. And we were producing at a level that we had players all over the world. But because our pro league has dropped drastically, really, it's the schools league is the only league that's been running for the last years. But you can't come out of that without any development and get into international world-class football clubs anymore, because we're so far behind on the development program.
Yeah,
Terry, and that's what we mentioned earlier, because a kid that comes out of SSFL, he may dominate a juvenile league like SSFL, but he will not be ready for a TT Premier team.
Yeah.
That's where it's important that we have a reserve league, so that the continuity of his development lies there. But now he's finished SSFL, so we say SSFL finished November last year. Now he's basically going to screening. He was outstanding. He was going to screening. He decides now that he wants to get into a pro league setup. They sign him because he was outstanding. We know Trini.
These
Trini coaches sometimes sign players because they score 12 goals. They don't care about their skill sets. Okay, cool. Mm. He cannot get into the team. Then the next year, he's out of contract.
And then what happens after that?
That's what the caller is asking.
Yeah.
He's not seeing the players. And that's the reality. Yeah. We have no development.
Mm.
Yeah.
But Terry, someone wants to know, they message us. And guys, don't forget, you can always call us. The lines are open, 627-3223, 625-2257. Good night, Coach Terry. What are your thoughts on the possibility of Harry Kane to Manchester United or Man United?
Mm. Well, I just think that Ten Hag is doing such a good job at the moment. Why would he take Harry Kane when he's got Rashford in such good form? Young kid. And he's doing brilliant things behind the scenes. Harry, yes, he probably wants to win something. Tottenham, as much as it grieves me to say this, but we haven't won anything forever. Mm. But Manchester United is the place to be at the moment. When you look at it's the biggest club in world football. Ten Hag has turned it around in a short period of time.
Mm.
Yes, he took his knocks and his punches on the chin very early on, but he's come through that now and he's got a very young, smart team that are doing good things, home and away. They're getting good results. And I'm only seeing good things coming. So it would be a good move for Harry Kane because he's a great goal scorer. He links the game up from the middle of the park. He can drop into them pockets of space. He's more than just a striker. And he could actually be a real good partner to Rashford up front, who's got the extra pace to get beyond defenders and create chances for both himself and other players. But it would be a huge blow for Tottenham Hotspur. Harry was brought up through the ranks through the same development programmes at Tottenham Hotspur. They sing, he's one of our own, and he is. He's done a brilliant job for the team, the club. He's the club's record goal scorer, 257 goals in front of Sir Jimmy Greaves. So it would be a knock and a kick in the teeth for Tottenham Hotspur, but I think it could be a good move for Manchester United. But I still think, I'm not so sure whether Ten Hag would go over that, because he's moving on to 30 now. This year he's 30. And I just think he's doing a great job with the youngsters, Kerry.
Right, well, that's the manager. Good. That's really, really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. I mean, to harness the energy and the skill is what we need to.
Yeah.
And as according to, like Tevin, you're a coach. How difficult is it, or how not difficult it is, to coach children or kids? Let me hear your views on that.
Kids are very difficult to coach because their attention span is little to nothing. But once you get involved with them, they like a coach that is involved. Like, you know, I will hug them up. Like, when I reach to the ground, they will come talk to me. I have a conversation with them about how the day was. You know, build that trust. And then when we get into the session, you know, they also know that I'm a serious person. So they know once Coach Dev starts to coach, that's it.
Coach Dev.
Yeah. He's
Kerry, ready for action. You want to see the passion that he puts into these kids.
Mm.
How he demands things and how they react to him. It's amazing. I think it's great stuff, Tev. Mm.
Yeah. Coach Tev, that's really, really nice. Guys, it's just about 7:26. I know we have just a few minutes again. So, Terry, anything on the Premier League? Anything you want to tell
us? Yes, so let's have a little recap on what's happening in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Arsenal are 2 points clear of Manchester City, 57 points with a game in hand. Manchester United are up into third position on 49 points. Tottenham Hotspur are up there as well, guys.
You see that real loud, didn't we?
Finally. 45 points there. And we've got a great game coming up on Sunday. As we mentioned earlier on, we've got the Liverpool-Manchester United game, which is the biggest rivalry in British football. Everything at stake, because these guys do not want to lose against each other. It's going to be tough. But Ten Hag, can't knock him. He's done brilliant things. Liverpool, on the back of a 5-2 defeat to Real Madrid at home, might be a bit frail at the moment. It might be a good time for Manchester United.
Yeah, coming Terry, up, winning that cup.
Terry, where's the place to watch this game?
Well, the only place to watch this game for everybody out there is at London 868.
Aye, where that is?
So on, this is on Rush Street in Sinclair. We've got our grand opening on Saturday the 4th. That's this Saturday coming. The doors open at 7 p.m. It's free admission until 10 p.m. Please bring yourselves down and all your football fans. We're going to have a great time.
I feel there's I need to get a jersey for this, you know.
I feel I need to get out there.
I mean, a proper Man U jersey or some kind of thing.
We're not giving away any Argentine shirts, that's for sure.
Andrew, I feel I want to see you, you know.
But yeah, well, there's plenty of specials on. Come and enjoy yourselves at London 868 for our grand opening.
Yeah, Terry, and I know I will be there on Sunday as well.
Good lad.
So I think, Carrie, the after party will be the Liverpool Man U. Because that's the idea.
So you're getting a Liverpool jersey for me?
Yeah, we could organize that.
Yeah, we could organize that.
But
right.
I know the grand opening is on Saturday.
No, but we could party and
the after party is Liverpool Man U.
I know, I'm saying it sound like a Trinidad boy.
No, I am there.
I see in a WhatsApp message here. I mean, no, I have three malls in front of me, and I don't know which is which. Right. On the topic of Trinidad football development, we know all about, I'm assuming this is about what they're going to say. We know all about the upcoming stars in other countries, but not our own. How can we change that, Terry?
So how we change that is, again, we go back to the development programs. What we've got to recognise here in Trinidad and Tobago is that Jamaica are miles in front because they're producing all of their football on TV. So you've got the general public buying into local football. So them kids that get that opportunity at their local football club in Jamaica, they're on TV this weekend. They're all over the place. College football is on TV. The partnership between college football and professional football, as well as community football, are working together for the betterment of these youngsters.
No.
We haven't got that in Trinidad and Tobago. There needs to be a coming together of all football parties. And it's not about us coaches. It's about the kids out there on the street that have got all of this ability. Give them an opportunity. Give them a chance, Kerry. Yeah. That's what we should be doing now, not looking after ourselves.
All right. Nice. So much. It's just about 7:30, and this is where we wrap up and we close this episode of The Offside. So, Terry, Adrian, Andrea, or even Tevin, anything any one of you would like to say before we close off? Until next week. Tevin. We'll start with you.
I would just to say, everybody come down to the Football Factory. It's one of the best developments in the West. You know, so bring your kids down Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays with Coach Dev, Terry. Have a grand time.
You'll take females too, like girls?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, my daughter told me the other day she wants to she wants to go in football. I say, Robin, you sure? Yes, I like it. No. She probably had a kick of a ball once or twice, and she said, I could be a footballer. So, all right, no problem.
That's
but it don't have much girls team, but like clubs, well, especially where I am from.
Where are you
so,
from?
So I'm from the East, sir. Okay. I'm from the East. But I like the idea of factory football. Football factory. Yeah. Yes. Don't worry, I'm going to get it correct. Andre, what do you have to say before we close?
Well, listen, once again, guys, it's a pleasure to be here on again, talking about issues that are very important. Yeah. There's so much. I always joke and say this in every episode. If we really sit down and talk, it would be 5-6 hours, maybe an entire week of speaking. There's lots of things that you guys are covering that I think is important. And I think, you know, continue the good work. And although I'm a little upset about the Argentina non-giveaway at the event this weekend,
yes,
I'll make my an effort to come by.
Yes,
and bring some of my people as well.
Get true, Adrian.
Well, I don't want to really and truly. I must say, Football Factory has done tremendous work in the North. But again, if you're in the East, don't be afraid to come to Athletic International Academy.
Right.
We do have a massive women's program and girls program. Right now, we have a screening undergoing for the under 14 elite tournament that is sponsored by FIFA. So we look for young ladies there, but thanks for joining us on Freedom again. And nevertheless, it was a great day.
Of course.
And for me, listen, Carnival is over, Trinidad and Tobago. Get yourselves back to work. Get your feet on the ground and look after your kids. They should be out there getting involved in football. It's not just about football. It's about social development, all sorts of skill sets that we're putting into these kids. We've got a party, a launch on Saturday evening from 7 o'clock at London 868. Bring your football fans along. We're going to have a nice time. We're going to have a good weekend, some great games. You be careful out there. Love you all.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Guys, this is Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. And this is where we close off our show of Offside. Catch us back next Monday, same time, same place, from 6 p.m. to 7:30 with Carrie V, Terry Fenwick, and Adrian Romine. And this is where we say goodbye. See you guys on the flip side.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.